All right, well, let's get rolling. I'm Trent Morrow of L&B Counseling, owner of L&B Counseling. This is Behind the Door series number 14. Thank you, as always, for either being here live or watching afterwards. Appreciate the views, the comments. It's really nice. Hopefully, people are getting some benefits from it. The whole idea behind the door series is just to kind of literally show people what we do behind the door. So whether you're a prospective caregiver or a client, or even a therapist, we try to share our techniques. We are very open and want people to learn and do what's best to help them. We do have a unique style at L&B Counseling. A lot of times we'll get out of the office and use these techniques because the real world is where the practice is, and it presents better challenges than just being in an office a lot of times. So it's just our way of hopefully giving back a little bit to the community and the people around us to for them to just to see how these things operate. So this week, and I know we've talked about it before, but I wanted to talk to you about sleep. Everyone has, I believe everyone, almost everyone, unless you're UNCC or you're in South Carolina, has gone back to school. So I know there's been probably some disruptions in your sleep. I've got teenagers, and so they're obviously not sleeping in as late as they were. While still maybe going to bed at the same time, I will give mine great credit. They go to bed at really good times, around 10 or 10:30. And one of the benefits, if there are many, of COVID is that the teenagers, especially the high schoolers, were able to sleep in a little bit more than starting that school day at 7:15, at least here in Mecklenburg County, for the public school. So that has been a nice benefit, I will say. And I get to see my daughter in the morning. Rather than her being at the bus stop before I get home. So, just wanted to tell you about some things that you can do naturally. Take some discipline for you to build those habits. We've talked about those habit loops before, probably ad nauseum, but some things that you can do just to develop some good habit sleep rhythms. So, right now it's what, 11 o'clock? Generally speaking, in the morning, you want to get outside for at least 10-15 minutes, like you talked about, for those circadian rhythms, and reset those. What that does is kind of a twofold deal is, and it doesn't have to be sunny, like today is beautiful, at least here in Charlotte, but it doesn't have to be sunny. You're going to get a lot more luminin by being outside, sometimes up to 10 times more than you would just being inside with these artificial lights. So even on a cloudy day, you're getting a lot more luminin than you would just being in a room, unless you're using some kind of artificial light, which I know that has been some, that is a certain type of therapy, but most of us don't do that. So get outside in the morning. You need to feel that sunshine or just be out even if it's a cloudy day. What it does is, like I said, it resets their circadian rhythms, but it also gives you a good cortisol bump, which is telling your body, your brain, it's emanating throughout the body saying, all right, it's time to go. It's time to get things going. It's time to start moving. And that circadian rhythm part is it resets the clock for about 16 hours. From then, you'll start getting your melatonin. And we've talked about that before. You want the brain to secrete that melatonin as the sun's going down. That's what makes you get tired and helps you ultimately drift off. And if you get the right amount, it helps you sleep through that whole sleep cycle, which should be around 8 hours for at least for adults, a little bit more for kids. But it restarts that process. If you don't get enough natural light in the morning and go outside and get what you need, in particularly, what happens around in the evening when the sun's gone down, you get another cortisol bump, which is a bad one because it is impacting your mood, your temperament. It's affecting your mental health, so you're more likely to have symptoms of depression and anxiety, and it's not going to let you fall asleep like you normally would want to. So, very, very, very important to do that in the morning, get that natural light. Even you got to have an umbrella, even if it's winter. That's what that discipline, it takes that discipline to get outside and go do that. I encourage my kids to do it. I've encouraged all my clients to do it. You just have to get out there. And that's part of why at L&B we get outside anyway when we have clients come into the office is we just know it's good for you. So it's vital that you do that. And it's a very easy way, and I say easy, but it's a very easy way if you just establish that discipline to get that bump that you need. If you don't get that bump, and what happens is, up to 2 days, maybe longer, but definitely 2 days, your affect gets diminished. You're more apathetic, going back to those symptoms of depression and anxiety. So it has lingering impacts more than just that moment, that night. It can last into 2 days. So I can't say it enough. Very important. Please do that. It's a natural way to get good cortisol, block the bad cortisol. The other thing that's going on now that can influence our sleep and our sleep cycle and our sleep rhythm is, especially with the kids coming back into school, we're on screens. We're on screens a lot. And kind of like we were talking about last week, if you don't change your viewpoint, if you don't go from something very focused, and when you have a break, maybe between class or meetings, and lift your view up and just look outside in a kind of a panoramic view, you're not going to switch off your adrenaline, and it's going to keep going, and you're just going to stay micro-focused. So you can continue to do that, like lift up even for a minute, and then come back, and then you'll kick back in, and you'll get back to work. But with the screens, just in general, whether it's your phone or laptop or iPad or whatever you're using, it's emanating that blue light, that yellow light. And that's also bad if you're, wanting to have a good sleep cycle. You need to cut those things off, or you need to have a protective screen. Or, like, my family went and bought some stylish blue blockers. Since they're staring at the screen all day, that is blocking those lights from emitting, because it has very powerful, the eyes are an extension of the brain, and so the brain's just sensing all this stuff, and it's keeping it more alert with the light than it needs to be. So you need to cut that stuff off at 7 or 8 p.m. Give your brain, at least 2 or 3 hours before you go to bed of quiet in between that. It's better in the evening if you don't have the overhead lights, and if you just have lamps. Eye view, the way the eyes are set up, we're not going into the science, but the eyes are halfway below, they're sensing the light, and so they're when you're pulled to the up really bright light, it causes a problem. It causes a problem with your melatonin secretion. So you can do that. I know we can't limit time on computers to some extent, especially with the kids back in school, or if you're having to do meetings and do work. But you do need to take those breaks in between your classes and in between your meetings. It's so important. So the last thing that I wanted to hit, because I always like to try to keep these shorter in nature, is when you're laying there, and and your brain won't cut off, and you've done the things you need to do, you've made sure you got outside, you're having good habits, good discipline, you're eating right, drinking plenty of water, you're exercising. And you're not going to bed, trying to go to bed angry, anything like that. Sometimes those, especially when you're going from that conscious to subconscious state, that's when those thoughts kind of permeate and come in and say, hey, pay attention to me. We need to solve a problem here. That is, I know it's hard, and all of our clients struggle with in that moment, what do I do? I think one of the things that, especially since we talked about it last week, is that breathing activity or breathing technique of taking that really deep breath in and then taking another really short breath on top of that big breath and then letting it out through your mouth and doing that several times. You're already doing that at night involuntarily. Your body's doing that naturally. So it's putting it in more of a calm state, and it's resetting that CO2 level, which is. Gets amped because you're going into problem solving mode, and this is a way to reset that because you don't obviously want to be in problem solving mode, excuse me. Because if you were trying to solve a problem, and this is what we talk about in therapy, is like if there really was a problem, you wouldn't be trying to fall asleep. And if it couldn't wait, you wouldn't be trying to fall asleep. I mean, evolutionary reasons is like, hey, we need to solve this now. This is a real problem. You need to take care of it. Sleep is irrelevant. But if you've had the intention of going to bed and that's what you're doing, well, then this is a good way, that breathing technique's a good way to have control over those thought patterns and be able to, in a sense, kind of like swat it away and say, I'll deal with that tomorrow, or I don't need to deal with that at all. And you do that breathing technique So it's resetting the hormones and chemicals in your brain and your body to get you in a more relaxed state. That way you can fall asleep and hopefully stay asleep. So just to wrap up, make sure you go outside, make sure you get that sunshine, or at least be exposed to outside in the morning so you can reset that clock, that circadian rhythm clock of 16 hours, get that cortisol bump, which gets you going, gets you fired up. That way you don't experience the cortisol bump in the evening. Take breaks in between your classes or your meetings. So that way you're giving your brain a way to kick off and then kick back in when you need to do the thing that's hard, kind of like what we talked about last week. And then when you're there and you're lying in bed and you have really good intention, make sure that you use that breathing technique to bring the bring that breathing under control so you can get rid of those thoughts and fall asleep. So hopefully that helped. The stuff's amazing to me. It's all like about science and just understanding the brain and what you can do to manage it, because it's wiring up and it's trying to help you solve problems. It just doesn't need to be solved sometime between the hour of 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. That's the critical time. If you're up during that time, that's when you start seeing some really big impacts to your mental health. And to your mental acuity as well. So, thanks for being here. Like I said, this is Behind the Door series, number 14. Next week, Kevin will be here. So we're gonna have a kind of an alternating pattern of I'll come in and speak a week, and then we'll have another therapist. So it'll be Kevin next week, and then we'll kind of do what we've been doing with Sade a couple weeks ago, doing mindfulness. So if there are topics that you would like us to address or talk about, we'd love to do it. We'd love to hear from you. And like always, we really appreciate you being here. Hope you stay safe, and let us know if there's anything we can do to help. Thanks, and have a great day.